Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. I am thoroughly convinced, and I say this every single week, that after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, that we are all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyard as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from which we've come. Therefore, we are calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. And today we're very excited to bring to you another homegrown set of individuals from Riviera Beach, Florida, who will share their story. And today, our special guests are none other than Angela and Artie Williams, and raised in Riviera Beach, Florida. Angela has 3 children, 4 grandchildren, and worked for the Palm Beach County School Board for several years. Artie is the proud father of 1 son and has also served in the U.S. Marine Corps. As a young adult, Angela recognized a need in the community and organized an annual school supply drive benefiting Riviera Beach children. Then, in 2003, Angela and Artie's lives changed forever when their nephew, Tori Manuel, was killed by a senseless act of violence. Having grieved with their family and watched their sister suffer the loss of a precious son, Angela decided to do something positive. She wanted not only to assist other families suffering from tragedy, but also to help prevent these tragedies from occurring in the first place. Through strength, determination, and a desire to make change, MAMA was born. MAMA is short for Mothers Murderers Association, Inc., and it is a charitable organization founded by Angela and co-founded by Artie in memory of their nephew. So help me welcome Artie and Angela. But we also have another special guest who's going to be co-hosting with me today. Dan Calloway is out at a private family event. But we have another co-host today, which Ms. Deja, if you would come on and introduce everybody to who you are and what you do, and she's going to help us with the interview today.
Hello. My name is Deja Harvin. I am a sophomore at the Louisiana State University, and also today I will be your co-host, as Ms. Ann said. And so now we have our wonderful guests, Angela and Artie Williams, coming on, sharing us about how they founded MAMAs and how that helped to shape their life, and also as well as the community that they live in. So my first question to either Angela or Artie is, do you think that it is important to work with other organizations to advance your mission?
So we'll start with Artie first. Artie, if you want to answer that question first, please. Thank you.
Yes, I think it's very important. And in time, you can team up with the like-minded people. They can make a difference in the community. We have organizations that doesn't exactly deal with what we do, but they has other avenues that they can go down to help the families cope, such as victim services. So we love teaming up with other organizations that can be positive to helping the family get through the ordeal.
Awesome. And just so that we all know, what is your guys' mission statement that you all have?
Our mission statement is to assist families of violence and to curb violence So we want to intervene before anything happens in the community.
So I have a question now that you shared that. Can both of you share with us as we start talking about your upbringing in the city of Revere Beach and how did you get here in terms of, you know, prior to starting MAMA? Can you go first, Angela, and then Artie, and just share with us, you know, your upbringing and the impact that that has had on your commitment to serve the community that you grew up in?
Sure. I grew up with the youngest, with my brothers and sisters. I was the youngest child. So we played in the streets. And playing in the streets was so important back then because it was community getting together with other neighbors in the community, other neighborhood children. So it was all about love and helping one another. And the thing about that was we was raised by a single mom. So we knew how to behave because my mom was not a strict mom, but she was a loving and giving mom. So she raised us, not saying nobody else don't raise a child good and as well as my mom did, but we were just a very, very close-knit family. We communicate with it, and we have fight with the neighborhood children. And the next day, next hour, we'll be back playing again. So things are totally different than what it was back then. You know, we fight, walk away, hug, and back at it again. So I did have a very, very good childhood. I wouldn't change it for the world. I loved sports because I was like a tomboy with my brothers. So I just enjoyed being a child. And we grew up slowly. We didn't grow up fast. We did what children are supposed to do. You go to school, come home, play, get ready for bed, the next day doing the same old thing. So I just love what we become back then and the way we was raised as a family.
And also, you know, like the piggyback on that, yeah, we did have a great childhood, and I think with having a great childhood, we can see the difference in the community today, and I think that's what we need to do. We need to get back to that village-type thing. I'm growing up in Riviera Beach and going to elementary school there and high school and off to the military, coming back wanting to make a difference. And this organization has done that. You know, my sister had a vision to get this going, and we ran with it. And today it's thriving, and not in the way that we want, because the more members we get, somebody has lost their loved one. But it's just good to know that we can provide a service that can help heal that pain. So we love what we do, and we will continue to do it.
Okay, Deja.
That's so great, because I know for me and right now in my generation, we're not really able to just go and play and fight and then make up. You know, typically things tend to go further, and it goes to a point where there's no turning back. And sadly, sometimes it does end in violence. And it's even worse when it's young people killing young people because they had so much life left and so much stuff that they could have done. So I definitely wish that for my age group that we could definitely go back to how that was. And then kind of just speaking on how did your nephew's death, which I'm so, so sorry for your loss, how did that shape how you came up with MAMAs?
January 1st, 2003, 6 o'clock in the morning, I received a phone call. And on the other end of that phone call was my sister, Cora. And she said, Tori was shot. She thinks Tori is dead. So I immediately jumped up, went to St. Mary's Hospital. Tori and nobody else, no family members or anybody, was buried in the hospital. I left there and came down Blue Heron Boulevard heading west on Blue Heron to Imperial Apartments, Blue Heron and Silver Beach, Blue Heron and S Avenue. That's where Troy resided at. And as I got closer, I started seeing a blue light flashing. And then I got closer, I started seeing yellow tape and a crowd of people. So at that particular time, everybody was put through the back window. It was a window in the back of the apartment building, because Troy apartment sits right on the corner of Blue Heron. So we all entered the back of the window in the apartment, and everybody, all the family, got gathered inside there while others gathered outside of the apartment building. And we waited until the corner arrived. And when the corner arrived, I can remember Troy's leg falling from underneath the sheet. His leg was dismangled. Troy was shot with an AK-47 times on New Year's Day. He's the second person to get murdered that particular day. And from then and on, my family was grieving the entire time. And as we got closer and closer to the funeral time, I still was like in denial that Troy was really dead, because you're just somebody you just recently seen and then they go on the next couple of days later. And so once the funeral car arrived at my mom's home, and it set it in my mind then that Troy is really dead. And from then on, I just asked God to give me a vision, and I stepped out on faith with the support of my family. I want to do something, because I had a feeling others would follow. I just didn't know how is what I was going to do. I just stepped out on faith and came up with a name as I was riding down 45th Street. I said, I want to have it to do some, the name to have to do with the word mama. And so I came up with Mothers Against Murder Association, and an acronym for mama. And it just took off from there. We had one person that turned this organization around, which was Tori. Now we have 469 mothers in this group 18 years later. I have attended 469 funerals. And, of course, besides going to the funerals. So I had, like I said, I had no idea what was going to take place at the particular time, but I knew it's something that I had to do. And my family came in, they 100% behind it, and they support this organization. So we do what we have to do out here in this community to help others now, because there's so many mothers that are grieving. If you came into our office and sit in one of our circle healings, it would take your breath away, because we have laughter, we have hugs, and we have screaming. So some people can sit in there and some can't. We do circle healing normally twice a month on a Thursday around 6:30, but the pandemic has changed things recently. But we do what we can do to help these families make it from one day to the next. My brother and I are on call 24 hours a day. We get calls 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, whenever a crisis occurs. Somebody out there is going to call mama, and we respond to the crime scene to give these families hope and let them know they're not going to go through this alone. We'll be right here with them. And some of our mothers haven't left our side right to this day. I get mothers that calls me, and not talking to sleep, mothers have lost 2 and 3 kids. So time is not the essence of us. We are here to help everyone and anyone that need our services.
Wow. This is amazing when you just think about, just got off a call before this call talking about our class from Riviera Beach of 1972. We're planning an event, and we're looking at the 50 years and doing 50 scholarships. And as you were talking about 400-plus young people that have died, I'm sitting here thinking about what if we are able to send 400-plus young people to college and having the community support you know, at a very early point, total community support. Because if we don't all get involved in supporting, you know, this effort that you and your brother started, then, you know, but for the grace of God, go I, go each and every one of us, because a mother could be in her 80s and 90s and losing an adult child. It don't always have to be somebody under the age of 30 or 20. So from your experience, both of you, can you share what does the future look like? And so, Artie, you go first, and then Angela, if you can go next, please.
Well, Ann, I want to just say, first of all, Tori's mother was the graduated class of 1972. So I just had to say that I heard you say class of 1972. My sister Georgia, she graduated in 1972. But I see the vision of Mama.
Last name?
Dixon. Georgia Dixon, she graduated from.
It was, Georgia Williams at the time.
Well, yeah.
She graduated. Wow. How? No coincidence. Yeah, she would have been a part. She is a part of our class.
Yes, part of. She's graduated the class with Red Walker and all those guys over there at Goodmar Park. So I'm pretty sure you know all those guys over there.
Just got off the phone with them. Just got off the phone
okay.
with Red Walker. Yes.
Yes. So, but I think the future of Mama is bright. I think somewhere down the line, our hope is to curb this violence. And we really, mission is to put an end to it. But we got to be realistic, know that, you know, the devil is out there and crime is going to exist. And our future is to be able to sustain being here in our office. And that's one of the problems that we have. We're just raising funds to stay in our office because everything is done out of our pocket. We have funded this organization since 2003 with every penny that we have. We don't get any grants. So through donations and just us, period, trying to maintain and be here for the community, we think it's going to get brighter. We think more people are going to step in and give a hand. And just knowing that the community knows that we are there, that's the most important thing. The community knows that somehow they can call Mama. Just because of the situation and the being at crime scenes with so many that people know who we are. And our mission is to be able to help everybody, and not just after they lose someone, but go back into the schools like we used to do and talk to the young people. Prevention is just the best cure. But that's our goal, is to be able to get back into the schools and stop this while they're young. And we could reach the young people. Our world and our community could be great. They have so much potential. Sometimes they just get a bad break and go down a bad road. But we know that we can curb that violence, and we're going to do all we can to do that.
Thank you. Angela?
Also, like Artie was saying, is that one of our biggest – we do the work. We do the work. We don't get paid for what we do. We just, you know, like I said, I step out on faith. But we know we have to do God's work. But our biggest problem is financial, keeping this organization going. We got to keep the organization going, but keeping a place for these mothers to come, because they have to have a place to come to heal. So that's my goal and our goal, Nadi's goal as well. We hope to get our own facility eventually, but we know it takes money to do that because we're struggling now. Our bills run us around $3,000 a month. And now we don't get any fundraising because of the pandemic. So it's been a struggle trying to keep these doors open so mothers get murdered. But if we do our best through fundraising. I don't care if we have to sell fish on a Friday. We do what we have to do to try to keep these doors open for the community, because these families need a place to come. I'm telling you, these mothers be so excited when it's time to come to the Circle of Healing. They got a place to go. And they know when they get there, their child won't be judged. We're not the judge and the jury. We're not God. So we don't try to judge these families. We try to help and support these families. I have a lot of mother, when it's time their child get murdered, they don't even have money to bury their child. And they can't get help from the state because the kids have a felony, a forceful felony. So they can't get help from the state. So sometimes we'll raise money to help these families bury their loved ones. So speaking of that, I also came up with an idea that I want to do insurance. And the reason I want to do insurance is to educate the community. They need insurance. Our kids not only dying from illness, they're dying through gun violence. So when there's something like this happens, you won't have to beg anyone for anything because people don't have money at themselves. So that's why I started Moms for Life Insurance to help these families get started and give them an idea and try to educate them that if something, a crisis occurs, we never know when a crisis is going to occur. If a crisis occurs, let's be prepared for that crisis. So we're going to do what we can, and we do what we can with no funding. We've been doing it for 18 years, and it's been a struggle, but we do what we can to keep those doors open.
Wow, right, that is really amazing. And just how I know that it is not easy sometimes doing, you know, God's work, doing, you know, God's bidding. But as, you know, Christians, believers, we know that God is with us every step of, you know, the way. We know that faith is not knowing how it's going to be, but just trusting in God that he's going to take us through. And I just really commend you all for really putting God first in your so long time of you know, doing this. And just for me personally, I have been in you guys' studio, and it's crazy how the faces fill up the entire room. You know, it's like, it's so real to just see, like, it just all sets in how so many innocent kids, mothers, sons, daughters, nieces, nephews are being killed because of senseless things. And it just shows how much work that we still have to do so that we can make this place a safer place, not just for us, but for the people coming up after us. So like I said, I just really thank you all for your great work that you are doing. Definitely I know that God is going to provide for you all, because like I said, it is not easy, but you guys have been doing it for 18 years, and I already can see in 18 more plus years that, you know, you guys will be doing this, because we really need stuff like this in our, you know, communities. And so just for a quick second to take a detour, Angela, I know in 2015 you had your fight with cancer. Can you talk about how that shaped you and how you were able to overcome that?
Yeah, sure. Before I had cancer, my sister who gave me that phone call that Tori was dead, she had cancer. She ended up dying from cancer. And prior to that, around 2012, 2013, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer as well. And 2015, I found the lump. But I knew that I had cancer. It was just in the back of my head. My sister had cancer. My mom had cancer. I just knew I had cancer. So I was diagnosed with aggressive cancer. So I had to move fast. Had to move real fast. Thank God for my children and my family support as well. So I was having that support from them, and knowing that I had four grandkids. Being now I have six grandkids, having that support from my family, that gave me hope, and the support from my mothers. I knew I had to fight. I had to fight hard and work fast. So found the doctor I wanted. At first I didn't, but I found the doctor I wanted. And once I found the doctor I really wanted, it took off from there. Going through 37 treatments Friday, every day of the week, I did 37 treatments of radiation. And before I did the radiation, I did the chemo. So I did 6 sessions of chemo. But the chemo wasn't so hard for me. It was the radiation, because the radiation was going through my skin. It's just burning my breast and burning my chest and made me black as the road. But I had to fight. And sometimes when I come from radiation treatment, I have my chemo treatment, I have my brother take me to the office because I want to sit in the office. That's when we were located on behind Corporate Way at the time. So I made it through cancer. Now I'm a 6-year survivor. And the doctor told me if I can make it 3 years of the cancer, and that's why I say it's so good to have believe and faith in God, because God got me through that. Then I had ran into another bump on the road, which was 2020. I was going off somewhere, heading down south, and I turned around because I wasn't feeling well. And I headed back to my sister's. I told her I needed to go to the hospital. We went up to Jupiter Hospital because that's the only hospital I love to go to Jupiter. If I have to go to the hospital, I go to Jupiter because I feel safe there. So I went to Jupiter Hospital. By the time I got in the door, I almost collapsed. And they ran all these tests and told me I had a heart disease. So I ended up having a triple bypass in 2020. I overcame the triple bypass. That's why I say I know my God is awesome. Thing that I've been through so far. And without my family support again and the members of Mama and my good friend, Mr. Calloway, our God, Dad, I'm just blessed. I just feel blessed. Now I've been healed from a heart disease. Well, I will always have a heart disease, but once you get a heart disease, they say you always have a heart disease, but my God is awesome. But I feel fine now. I never stopped working. I had a little bumps, but never stopped working and never stopped going to funerals, never stopped helping these mothers. I have to do what I have to do, and it's all because of God. He brought me through this. And when I say story that nobody wants to go through my journey, they never want to go through this journey, especially dealing with heart disease. You never want to go through that. But I thank you all so much for letting us share our story about Mama on your radio show today. It means so much to me. Anytime I can talk about Mama and anytime I can help these mothers, speak on these mothers' behalf, it helps me with my healing as well, inside and out.
So now I have a couple of questions before we wrap up, and that is, how can people find you, those who are listening, those who will be listening in the future to this podcast, and they may want to help or reach out, how can they connect with the two of you, if you can share your information, please?
My phone number is 561-324-3701. And Audie is 561-201-9358. And our website is mamawpd.org, our website. Of course, they can email me at mothersagain, A-G-A-I-N, at gmail.com. 561-324-3701, that's my number, Angela number. Audie is 561-201-9358. Our website is mama, M-A-M-A-P-B .org. And my email, mothersagain, A-G-A-I-N, at gmail.com.
Thank you so very much. I just want to make sure I got that
You're
right
welcome.
So that I could make it a part of the information we're sharing, because we do want to provide the information in the event that others may have a need to reach out to you. And I just want to, on behalf of all of us, and Deja, we'll have you give the last words, but just want to make sure that we let you know how much we really, like Deja said, appreciate everything you're doing. So we can go ahead and wrap up.
So we'll go to Deja, then we'll go to Artie, and then we'll go to you again, Angela. Deja?
Yes. It was just so awesome hearing your story, both of your stories, and just hearing all of the things that you all went through, and just seeing how you still got through it with God. And I just love how you put God first in everything that you do, and how your journey. I know so many people would have turned their backs on God, but you didn't, and you really stuck with Him, and you truly believe that my God can do anything and everything. He can heal me from this cancer. He can help me form this group that I didn't even know how it was going to be formed, didn't really have the funds for it, but I stepped out on faith. And I truly believe your story can inspire and will so many other people to do the same thing, because I know as humans we kind of get caught up with the, oh, we don't have the money, we don't have the resources, but it's not all about that, because when you believe in God, then you truly believe God is going to take care of everything, and the only thing that you do is just listen, and God will help with the rest. So I definitely just want to thank you guys again for coming on and just sharing your story and sharing your mission of how you're really trying to change not just here in, you know, Riviera Beach, but in the whole world. And like I said, I just thank you guys again. And so, Artie, do you have any lasting words, as well as Angela, before we close out?
Yes. Again, thanks, Ann. Thanks. Every time you allow us to share our story, it's going to touch people. And Deja, I think you've been a great co-host, and I just want to thank you guys again. Also, I want to just let people know that don't be afraid to reach out to us. You know, sometimes people don't want to ask for help. But if anyone that's listening to this this podcast and feel like the family member is going down the wrong road, give us a call. Let us intervene, and maybe we can stop that path and put them on the right direction so they can not have to have go through the pain as a lot of these mothers are going through now. So, again, our thing is prevention. Our first thing is prevention, and that's what we want to do. So also, if they just need some help, or what a loved one that's haven't been buried or need some information on how to contact victim services, give us a call. And just to let the mothers know, our Circle of Healing and the families know, that if you got a family member that's going through something, they need to come to about one of the meetings. Angela does a great job with these mothers in the Circle of Healing. I think he should ask them to attend because it does work. Again, thanks.
And also, one thing I didn't forget to mention, my family as well lost 21 family members here in Palm Beach County to gun violence. So it's been a struggle for us as well, besides Tori, the other 20 family members. All ages, from age 12 on up. So we have to continue to do God's work, like I said previously. But I do love what I do, and that's helping families. So don't hesitate, like Artie said, to reach out to us. That's why we are here. You know, like she said earlier, it's not always about the money. Of course, we know everybody needs money, but it's about the support and the love that we give to the community. And we will keep on doing what we have to do to help each other. Thank you so much once again, both of you ladies. It's been a pleasure to be on your show. Anytime somebody want to reach out to us, please share our information. I know you will. And thanks again.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We want to just remind everybody that you have been listening to hashtag I am Riviera Beach, hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. And after everything we have heard today, this is another example of the fact that we are family, and we are not that far from touching the lives of many all over the world. And we would like to encourage each of you, comment and like and share this show. Comment and like and share this show. because for the grace of God go I. We will never know what day our number will be called. And so with that thought in mind, we want to thank all of you for listening, and everybody have a good evening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.